right, Psalm 84 this morning, Psalm number 84 in your Bibles this morning, if you would please. And, try to preach a little while as best I can this morning. Had a hard time putting together what I wanted to say and still don't know if we got it together or not. But we're going to give her a try here in a little bit. Amen. Psalm 84, one of my favorite psalms. I named the church we started in Arizona out of from verse number 11, where it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." And we named that church Sun and Shield Baptist Church. It's there still today. They're still using the little logo that Miss Hall and I put together with a sun and a shield on it. And, of course, that's talking about the Lord Jesus, no doubt about that. And the church is doing quite well from what I understand. In fact, they're getting ready to go into a building program. And they're probably running, I think, something in both. They run two Sunday morning services, and I think both together they run about 250 or 300 people in those two services. So they're doing quite well. That's what I was told, and then it may have changed by now. You know, churches can change overnight. And so that's where they are. All right, look, verse number one, we'll begin reading right there. And I think I want to read the first four verses this morning and try to bring the thought God has laid upon my heart. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. And the writer said, Selah. Pause right there. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the Sunday school hour this morning. Thank you for the good singing we've enjoyed in the house of God. Good testimony time. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching today. I pray for your divine help and grace. I pray for the power of God. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord would move upon me and fill me this morning and bless me and make me a blessing to thy people. I've come to be an encouragement to them. I pray that you'll help me to do that. May souls come to Christ. May we find great, deep conviction, not only here but throughout our community, that we might see a reviving spirit, might see souls saved through the evangelistic outreach of our ministry and work. May the grace of God be accomplished in hearts and lives, and may your name, may your blessed, precious name be lifted up and magnified above all others and all else. And we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, verse number one says, how amiable or how lovely, how beautiful are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Or how beautiful is the house of the Lord. How lovely is the house of the Lord. This is not in my notes, but I want to say it because Miss Hall has encountered it this week. And on her great marriages list, there are those that believe in having church in their home and that there's really no need to assembly in what we assemble in what we call the house of God. But I want to say that there is a place of assembly. There always has been. Started with a tabernacle, and the Lord's always had a place where His people were to assemble. In fact, that's why Israel was split spiritually. Rehoboam built a golden calf in Samaria, and it divided Israel. And the people in the northern part, the northern tribes met in Samaria. But God had said, Jerusalem is where my people are to meet. And so He continued to do so. And I want to preach. I want to preach this morning, Lord being my helper, for a little while on the thought of journey to the house of God. A journey to the house of God. Now you bear right with me for a few minutes, and I'll not be too long this morning, don't think. Someone has said that the 23rd Psalm is the most popular of all the Psalms in the Word of God. I don't doubt that one bit. Probably people can quote that psalm probably more than any other psalm in the Bible, or maybe quote those verses more than any other verses in the Bible. They may be used at more funerals than any other verses in the Word of God. So Psalm 23 is certainly one of the most popular chapters in all of the Bible. And then the 103rd Psalm, a lot of people say, is the most joyful. By reading it, the words that's in it brings more joy and blessedness to our heart. And the 119th Psalm is the most deeply experimental. That is that God's people have experimented. The psalmist had experimented those things that he wrote about in that particular chapter. And as far as I'm concerned, the entire book of Psalms is an experimental book. That is that we have experienced those things. The psalmist experienced many of the things that he wrote about to encourage us, knowing that somewhere down the line we're going to encounter the same troubles and trials and tribulations that they did in the book of Psalms. It's a pretty general book, and I love to read it, and I love to preach from it. And then someone said that the 51st Psalm is the most plaintive. That is, David, it's plain. And David made his confession in that psalm to the Lord concerning his sin against Bathsheba, and then his committing adultery and his sin against the Lord, and then his sin of putting her husband to death. And so it's a very plaintive psalm. But then they've said that the psalm that we're in today, Psalm 24, someone said that it is the sweetest psalm of peace in all the Bible. That the psalm is sweet. I told someone in the morning, in the foyer this morning, I said, I'm going to be very sweet this morning. They laughed at me. But how can you not be sweet when you're preaching out of the sweetest psalm in all the Word of God? And it is very sweet. It starts that way. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How lovely, how beautiful, how wonderful are the tabernacles of the Lord. I could say that about the house of God. I could say that about our assembly this morning, our church this morning. How beautiful is the house of God. That's right. How beautiful, how lovely is the house of God. And I don't believe there's anything any sweeter because it says there's nothing any sweeter than the joy of the winepress to which this psalm is written after. The title up there says to the chief musician of Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And that word Gittith means a winepress. And it can be used in two ways. Number one, and it depends on the psalm. The winepress can be used as a thing of judgment. But the winepress can also be used as a thing of joy, an instrument of joy. It's there that the grapes are pressed. It's there that the wine juice, that the juice is made. And wine in the Bible is always a type of joy. And so this psalm begins with great joy. And although there's no name ascribed to the title of the psalm, I believe that it's definitely bears the fragrance of the pen of the sweet psalmist of Israel, David himself, who became king of Israel. I believe it bears his marks without a shadow of a doubt. Now, the first four verses is what I want to deal with this morning. And they reveal to us the spirit possessed by these Hebrew pilgrims as they made their way to God's house for his most sacred festivals. That is, for the worship of the Lord. And that's what I want to look into this morning, is the spirit of God's people as they make their way to the house of God, and then their spirit or their attitude when they come to the house of God for the particular purpose of worshiping our Lord. You and I today should be like-minded in our assemblies as we come to the church to worship our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us, gave His life for us, that we might be loosed from the sins of bondage, and that we might that held us in captivity. And you know, when they came to the house of God, I believe they came with great joy, because they knew it was a place that the Lord would meet with them. And you know, we ought to have that same frame of mind today, that same attitude today as we make our way to the house of God. I'm telling you, some folks come in the house of God. I say this a lot, but I'm honest. Some folks come in and look like they've been chewing on saw briars or like their mother-in-law has moved in to stay. They come like the house of God is just another house. But this is not. Somebody said, this is just a building. I agree with that. This is just a building. But this is a place that God has designated for Island Ford Baptist Church, who are you and I that are saved by the grace of God and baptized into this assembly to meet in this building. And we call it the house of God because it's where you and I have been called on to meet with the Lord. And what a wonderful blessing it is to come and meet with the Lord. My question this morning is, do we come with the right motive? Do we come in the right frame of mind? Do we come with the right attitude? Have we come for the right reason? Are we here today just to simply be here to gratify our own conscience? Or are we here today to glorify the Son of the living God? When Brother Bell and his family were singing, I meant what I said. We ought to be blessing the Lord. Oh, bless His holy name, for He's done for us what nobody else could do. He's saved us by His marvelous grace and assembled us in this place for the purpose of praising His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. And we ought to come to the house of God. It's a psalm of joy. We ought to come to the house of God with real joy in our heart, knowing that God's given us an opportunity to meet with Him. He has chosen this place to reveal His grace and His glory and His mercy and His love to those that are saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen and amen. That's right. Now, we journey to the Lord's house. I want to say, first of all, and I'll be brief this morning, that we ought to journey to God's house with a song in our heart. We ought to come with a song in our heart. Somebody said, where do you get that from the Scriptures? Well, the Psalms, believe it or not, were songs, ladies and gentlemen, that the Hebrew people sang in their worship, in their assemblies when they came together. And they came with that song in their heart. And I believe you and I today ought to come with a real song in our heart. Amen. I mean, we just rear back and sing by the grace of God. We ought to have that song in our heart. Notice what Psalm 100 and verses 1 and 2 said. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. God wants us to come in here with singing. There's something about singing. You know, you go to some places and you hear wrong singing, and you know why it's there. When you see kids standing around doing this number, you know why they're doing that is because that singing is accomplishing in them what it's designed to accomplish. You see these kids out here on the street, and I'm trying to be kind this morning, but you see these youngins and their hair looks like something from a Star Trek movie. I'm here to tell you, amen, it's there because of what they have heard, what they have heard on the radio and what they have picked up through the music that is played on the radio. You can sit, mark this down in your book. All the trends either come from the east to the west or from the west to the east, buddy. Now, I'm telling you what's setting the trends in America is the music that our generation is listening to. Now, I'll tell you what will set the mood in the house of God is the music that we're listening to and the songs that we're listening to. And if we'll listen to those songs and come to church on Sunday morning with those songs in our heart, those joyful songs of our sweet redemption from our Lord, we can come to the house of God with singing and with the joy of the Lord in our heart. Somebody say amen right there. When God saved you, He put a song in your heart. Let it out. And I said, how? Open your mouth and let it out. Amen. How do I know it's in there? Because the Bible said it's in there. And it ought to be a joyful song. Praise God, it ought to be some of them pudding paste songs. Amen. A joyful song. A lot of folks want to hear them songs about, oh, that old great judgment morning when we're all going to be judged. Well, hey, we might be having a great judgment morning, but I like to hear, praise God, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I like to hear there is a fountain filled with blood. I like to hear the song Amazing Grace and Victory in Jesus. Somebody say amen. I like to hear about a song or a land where we'll never grow old. Amen. I like to hear music about our Redeemer that loved us and died for us and purchased our soul on the cross of Calvary with the precious blood that He said. Hallelujah. Like Brother Gray was preaching on this morning, He entered into heaven itself with His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us and placed it on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. In heaven itself. My say amen right there. We ought to come to church with a joyful song.
Amen.
Well, God, go to church again. God, help us.
Amen.
They'll want us to sing them old songs we always sing again. Amen. Praise God, what's wrong with them?
Amen.
I passed a little van in town Friday, right up here by the Burger King, you know what? Or right down by the intersection, really, by McDonald's. You know what it had on it? It had Oldies 97.5. They don't get tired of hearing Oldies.
Amen.
Come on now, children. They don't get tired of listening to the Beatles and Elvis Presley, whatever his name was. They don't get tired. Hey, you know what I read in the newspaper the other day? They said the most famous singing group for the last 40 years in the world has been a group called the Grateful Dead. They might be grateful they're dead, but praise God, I'm grateful I'm alive. Somebody say amen right there, and I'm going to sing songs, amen, that prove that I'm alive by the grace of God. Amen. I'm not dead. I was dead, but Jesus passed by and quickened my soul and lifted me out of sin, and now I'm alive. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm alive from the dead. I don't want to sing about being grateful dead. I'm not grateful. I wasn't grateful that I was dead, praise God. I'm grateful that I'm alive. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Ought to be joyful singing. Listen here. Hey, we ought to sing with a song in our heart. And then we ought to sing with joyful singing. It said in Isaiah 65:14, behold, my servants shall sing with joy in their hearts. Are you His servants this morning? If you've been saved, you've been saved to serve. And He said they'll sing with joy in their hearts. How can we not have joy in our heart when we look back and remember where we were? Dead in sins, out in the world, wasn't looking for God, but thank God. As Miss Hall and Jordan sang this morning on that wonderful Sunday morning, when Jesus passed by my way, thank God, and I'm glad, amen, that He's still a passing by every now and then. He passed by that Sunday morning. I wasn't looking for Him, but He come back 5 rows back looking for me, amen. And I'm glad that He found me. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God, we ought to be happy this morning, rejoicing this morning, have a song in our hearts this morning. We're redeemed. We're the blood-bought crowd. And by the way, we're going to sing redemption and glory. We better get tuned up and ready now while we're here below. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Hallelujah. Now, I ought to have a joyful, we ought to come to God's house with a song in our heart with joyful singing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Psalm 63:5 said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips.
Amen.
Now somebody said, I like to sing in my heart. Well, the Bible said you better sing with your lips.
Amen.
Amen. What you got in your heart, you better let out your lips. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. I've got news for you. What's in your heart will come out. You've got a song in your heart, a song will come out. You've got hatred in your heart, hatred will come out. Animosity will come out. If sin's in your heart, sin will come out. But I'm telling you, if joy's in your heart, joy will come out. out of it. And a song will come out of it that brings joy to the hearts of others. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can come to church and sing. Amen. I want to say not only with the song in our heart, with joyful singing, but with jointly singing. Somebody said, what do you mean jointly singing, preacher? Well, that word jointly means together or unity. In other words, don't just let a few carry the load.
Amen.
Don't just let a few sing. When the congregation's singing, it's time to join in.
Amen.
Amen. That's why I told you this morning, you better sing. Because I was going to get on your high if you didn't sing. If you don't sing, you're proving to me you ain't got much of a song in your heart.
Yes.
Now I'm telling you, if He brought you out of that pit, He put a song in your heart. He put it there. He put it there. You'll get that someday. I preached on it here. He put it there. You didn't have to get it some way. God put it there.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God, I'm happy this morning. Woo! Amen. Saved by grace, sealed to the day of redemption.
Amen.
Don't give a flip what the world thinks about me.
Amen.
I'm not looking for fame and fortune. I'm looking for the rapture.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm not listening to rock music. The drums are beating and the thumping. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. It says, come up hither. Praise God. And I'm telling you, one of these days it's going to say it. That's right. And gravity's going to lose its power and we're going up. Amen. So I said, that's a fairy tale. Believe what you want to believe. I believe the Bible, thank God. Amen. That's right. God, I told in Sunday school this morning, I'll tell you again, I've been having a little pain in my side and so forth, and I looked online and checked the word appendix. And they said that years ago, for many years, that scientists and doctors believed that it was put there, that it was there just because we hadn't completely evolved yet. And it was still in the process of evolution. We hadn't lost it. It was still in the process of evolution. But said in recent years, they've come to believe that it was necessary for the immune system. I said to myself, thank God, I'm telling you, it gives me joy to know that I don't believe, bless God, that my forefathers swung from their tails from a tree. Maybe your forefathers swung by their tails from a tree. Praise God, but mine was created by God in the image of God. Male and female created him. Not Adam and Steve either. He created them, Adam and Eve, thank God. Man with woman and woman with man. And not men with men and women with women. I'm telling you, that lifestyle is wicked and ungodly and sinful as the devil himself. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Well, I said, I'm telling you right now, and I know I'm on the radio, I'm not afraid of that bunch of queers, amen, that's what they are, and I'm telling you, they need to be exposed, and America needs to take a stand against that sin, and by the grace of God, I'm going to take a stand against that sin.
Well,
I said, you'll wind up in jail. Well, praise God, I might. But I'm not going to stop preaching against sodomites because of some bill been passed in some state or something said in Washington about that. They can legislate all the sin they want. I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to preach on holiness.
Amen.
Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That crowd is unholy. They rained fire and brimstone on that crowd in Sodom and Gomorrah. Somebody, and I think our president said, it doesn't say anything about them in the New Testament. He better read Romans chapter 1, friend. It's got a lot to say about them. The fact that God said He gave them up, and He gave them up, and He gave them over to a reprobate mind because they weren't that which was unseemly. Man with man, woman with woman, burning with lust in their hearts, one for another, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind. I don't know how I got off on that. I guess I was preaching on joy, and you all wouldn't show any joy, so I just started preaching on that a little while. Amen. Thank God. Somebody might need that. Now, jointly, that is, we sing together, and we sing in harmony. We sing in unity. Thank God. I mean, don't put the Don't put the hook on everybody. Don't just let a few carry the load. Everybody's saying. Everybody. I remember Dr. Seidler had sat him and say, "All right, everybody standing and everybody singing. All over the building, up in the balcony, everybody. This is your opportunity to sing this morning." And they'd sang, boy. Praise God and bring the house down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! I'm telling you, good singing sets the stage for preaching. Amen. You get to sing good songs, praise God, I'm telling you, it sets the stage for it, friend. You know what sets the stage for the music out in the world? Liquor! Dope! Come on in the house. I'm going to tell you what sets the stage for preaching. Singing! Godly singing!
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Some of y'all are looking kind of faint. Then I'm going to say with jubilant singing. We ought to sing jubilant singing. Isaiah 35:10 said, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with song and everlasting joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away."
Yeah.
Won't that be wonderful? Oh, Lord, I'm not ready to turn upside down on my back. Won't that be wonderful when there'll be no more sorrow and no more sighing? And we're coming to Mount Zion. I don't care what the Muslim. I don't care what the Muslims say. They call us Zionists. Praise God, guilty. I plead guilty to it. I'm going to Mount Zion someday. And when I get there, I'm going with gladness and joyfulness and a song in my heart. You know why? I'm going to meet my Redeemer there. Hallelujah to God. These ones were there awaiting me that loved me so much. He died and suffered and bled and went to very hell itself that I might not ever have to go there. Brought to captivity and captive. Praise God. He's coming back again. Amen. I'm going to see him. I'm going to meet him. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to fall at his feet. I'm going to love him, worship him for all eternity. And he's going to just wipe away all sighing and sorrow. Woo! Oh, I'll tell you, we live in a lot of sorrow and sighing down here, don't we? Loved ones sick. Family get diseased and sick, and their loved ones, and it just breaks our heart. And we live in sorrow, constant sorrow. Things just don't seem to go right, and we don't understand why they're not going right, because we're trying to live for God. We get down in that valley and don't understand why we're in that valley. We're trying to live for Jesus. And we don't understand, and we've got sorrow in our heart. And sometimes we go to bed at night and shed tears on our pillows. And we weep and wonder what in the world is going on in our life. Why did God do this? Why didn't God do this way? Why is God doing this way? Why is God letting my family do this? Why is my family going over there? And I'll tell you, it brings great grief and great sorrow. But I'm telling you, there's coming a blessed day when we'll meet on Mount Zion. God will wash all that, wipe all that sorrow and all that sighing away. Praise God, and there will be everlasting joy. Did you get a hold of that? I said everlasting joy will be in our heart. Amen. And we'll sing with everlasting joy and gladness in our heart, because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And He's wiped away old things, and all things have become new. If you don't shout on this one, you ain't going to shout, praise God, for a while. I'm telling you, this is one in a million. I told you it'd be a sugar stick. You better get on it. Amen. While you can. Thank God. This is our time to worship today. Amen. Amen. That's right. Then I'm going to say number two. We journey to the Lord's house with a song in our heart. We also journey to the Lord's house with a longing in our soul. Notice what verse 2 said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." So we come to church with a longing in our soul. We come to the house of God because of its loveliness. He said in verse 1, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." How beautiful. How lovely.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, I don't see nothing too beautiful about this old building? Well, maybe not. But we ought to sing with you. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. It said in Psalm 35:10, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return." I've already said that, praise God. I was in the wrong verse a while ago. I'll say it again. "And return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Jubilant. Come with jubilance to the house of God. Somebody said, "What do you mean with jubilance?" I'm talking about with real joy. There's jubilance goes beyond joyful. Jubilance is the expression of joy. Amen. In other words, we're not just fooling around. We come to church, praise God, we get into it. I've been in a few black churches, and when they get to singing, I mean, they get to singing. Son, when that preacher gets to humming, they get to singing. Now, I heard a preacher preaching on a terrorist in the week one time, a black preacher, and he got in that humming gear, and he said, "You don't have to be a tear. Oh, you can be a wheat. You can come on down and sit at Jesus' feet." Oh, I'm going to tell you, that's right. And so I said, "What was wrong with him? He was a nut." No, he wasn't a nut. Son, he was just letting out an expression of what he felt in his heart. The problem with our people is that we don't want to let out the expressions of our heart and soul to God. We can't worship Him unless the expressions and the emotions of our heart is let out to Him in love and song. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Come with a jubilant saying. I'm so happy I'm coming plumb fouled up here. My mind is running 90 times a minute. I said, I'm supposed to be on, praise God, I'm supposed to be on long and inner soul. And coming to the house of God because it's loveliness. And it does matter. He does not tell us how lovely that these tabernacles were because he couldn't. His expressions that he uses in the psalm show us that his feelings were inexpressible. The house of God should be lovely to the memory. When we leave here, it ought to be something lovely. Our memory, our thoughts of it. It ought to be lovely to the mind. It ought to be lovely to the heart. It ought to be lovely to the eye. It ought to be lovely to the whole soul. The whole soul. To the assemblies of the saints. In other words, when we come together as an assembly, I'm telling you, it should move us body, soul, and spirit for the Lord. We are the assembly of the Lord. Amen. I drove by a church one time and had the assembly of God on there. I said, I didn't know God had to assemble. Ain't but one of them. How can he assemble? Assemble takes more than one. Come on in the house now, children. Somebody said, "You're meddling." I got to meddle a little bit. Hallelujah. We ought to come with a longing. I want to ask you something. Do you really come with a longing in your heart? A longing to see God. A longing in your heart to meet the Lord today. A longing in your heart to hear from heaven. A longing in your heart for God to change you. A longing in your heart for God to do something for you and your family. Somebody said, "I don't need nothing done." You're stupid. If you believe that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. I don't know one family, I don't never met any family anywhere that did not need God to do something for them right then and now. We all need it, every one of us. Amen. That's right. We come with a longing. He said, my soul longeth. Yea, fainteth. It fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I wonder if our heart and our flesh together this morning cried out for the living God. Or did we just come because we had to be here? Amen. I'm talking about the journey to the Lord's house. When you got up this morning, started getting dressed, did you have a tug in your heart and a longing to be here? And a longing to hear from heaven? Oh, Hobart Stevens used to sing that song of Tabernacle, I Just Heard from Heaven, and it's all right now. Oh, youngins, if we could just hear from God. If God would just speak to us one more time. He'd just open up those precious lips. Divine lips. Eternal lips. With the eternal word of God written within. And speak to our hearts today. And just say the word, I'll guarantee you. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He can change what we are into what we ought to be for the glory of God and what He wants us to be. Amen. Is anybody listening? When the psalmist come to the house of God, he was stirred. He said, my soul longeth. He had a holy love sickness. It was upon him. His desire was deep and insatiable. It pines and it faints to meet the saints in the Lord's house. Did you come that way this morning? Pining in your heart to meet with the saints of God in the Lord's house? Woo, hallelujah. Now, I'm going to have to say, when I come in this morning, I was pretty happy. And it made me happy. I saw all those men line up against that wall. I said, hallelujah, man. They said, you're late, Rev. But they was all just a smiling and talking. I went in there and sat down in the office. And somebody came in and sat down. And I said, well, I wonder if they're going to come in and pray or fellowship a while. And whoever was in there said, well, let's just pray. They'll get the idea and come on in. I said, I hate to interrupt them. They're having a wonderful time in the Lord's house. Now, I'm going to tell you what was going on in that hallway this morning. You can take my word for it. It's part of what goes on in the house of God. There is such a thing as fellowshipping with the brethren, and everybody needs fellowship with the brethren. Not with the world, amen. Not that crowd. With the brethren at the house of God. Amen. That's why I like it when you stay over in night services and we talk and go in the office and talk or sit out in the hallway. We left here the other night, I forget what night it was, and I crawled in my car and started up and I said, great day. It is 10 minutes after 10. And one of the kids was with us and they said, well, Pop, you didn't quit preaching till 9 o'clock. Well, I guess we got a reason to be here at 10 o'clock. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. But he comes stirred. I wonder if you come stirred in your heart this morning. Or are you settled down? You're either settled or you're stirred for God. May God stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. May God help us to remember what we was when He found us and where we was when He found us. May God help us to remember what agony and suffering the Son of God went through on Calvary when He gave His life a ransom for our sin. May we be reminded of the whipping post. May we be reminded of the mocking, the scourging. Now, I'm telling you what, I said this last week. I think I'm going to say it again, Brother. Brother Steve's been teaching on the temptation in the wilderness, and it said the devil taketh him up to the pinnacle of the temple. To him said, cast yourself down. Said, the Lord's given you a charge concerning you. And there he tempted him. He tempted him to come down from the temple. And then on the cross, when he was on the cross, they'd done it again. He said, come down. Come down. And then we'll all believe that you're him. If you'll just come down, we'll believe it. Oh, I'm telling you, that devil is a shrewd rascal, buddy. He's a shrewd rascal, but I'm glad, thank God, he didn't listen to a word the devil had to say. Not one word. He hanged on that cross. Somebody said it's because the nails was in his wrists. That's how he hanged there. Oh, no. Those nails were in his hands. Hallelujah. It's like that old preacher said up in Indiana that night. That young boy said the nails were put in his wrists and held him there. He was preaching out of an NIV Bible. That old mountain preacher got up and said, huh, I'm glad, huh, Jesus died on the cross. And said, he died there, for our sins, And said, the nails didn't hold him there, It was the love that he had for us that held him there, And he said, the nails wasn't in the palms of his hands, Said they wasn't in his wrist, they is in the palms of his hands. And said, if you'd have been using the right Bible, you would have known that. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's where the nails were, thank God. Amen. That's what he told her. That's what he told Thomas. He said, look at the nail prints in my hands, Thomas. He didn't say nothing about his wrists. He said his hands, thank God. I'm glad it was love that held him there. Love that held him there. We ought to return that love. He loves us. Praise God. Let me get down here. Tear y'all up a little bit. But I'm telling you, God loves old sinners. He come to redeem old sinners. He come to call sinners, not the righteous to repentance. God come to call sinners to repentance. I'm glad he saves those that are bad, those that are sinful, those that are ungodly. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, I was a pretty good fellow when he saved me. You a lying, get you gaunch in your mouth, no, won't you? You wasn't no good. There's none good, no, not one. God knows that. But I'm so glad that God saves old sinners.
Amen.
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 Thank God you come stirred. I'm stirred. Are you stirred this morning? And I want to say not only stirred, but he was satisfied. He said, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I want you to notice what I'm getting ready to say. I'd have never thought this. I'd have never thought this in a million years. If you listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Seldom, indeed, does our flesh incline to the right direction. You'd have to admit that. Flesh always wants to lead us in the wrong direction. But in the matter of the Sabbath services, sometimes flesh comes to the assistance of the longing heart. For it desires physical rest as much as the soul desires spiritual rest. That's right. A man's been working all week and his body's tired. If you can't rest in church, where can you rest? I'm fixing to show you here in just a little bit. When I get there, it said, yea, the sparrow hath found a house and the swallow a nest for herself. What are you doing in the nest but rest? Where did they find it at? On the altars in the house of God. You can't rest in church. You can't rest. If you can't rest in the house of God, the problem is there's F-I-N in your life. Amen. And you're nervous and can't rest because of it. Or else you lost him without God. That's why you can't rest in the house of God. You're to come back and if you ought to, kick your shoes off. We're in our Father's house. Pull up under God's table. Somebody say amen. And dine with God today. Amen. And rest a while. Rest back. Rear back in that recliner and just rest in Him. Hallelujah. Getting ahead of myself. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? And I want to say he was surrendered. The heart and the flesh that longeth, both of them is a reference to the whole man. There was nothing between him and his Lord.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing to hinder his worship. He said, none between me and God. And he said, there's nothing between me and my brethren. Oh, what a day that'll be.
Amen.
When we can get to where there's nothing between us and God, nothing between each other.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody say amen right
amen.
There. Help me out, Brother Andy.
Amen.
That's right. There's so many squabblings and quietings in most churches and fightings and fussings.
Yes,
I've never in my life seen anything like it. I'm glad we're not going through all that. Oh, there's some little skirmishes going on here and there and every now and then. But I'm going to tell you what, ain't nothing too big for God.
Amen.
Nothing God can't handle.
Right.
Thank God. I'm lost for words. Because I remember how it used to be. Son, you come in, and when they sat down, you'd start counting to see how many was on your side. You catch that after a while. Amen. I'm glad it ain't like that now. Now, he come, and I'm finishing with this point. He come with peace in his mind. Notice what it says in verse 3. The sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now, I want to say, hey, the sparrows, he said, you're worth much more than many sparrows.
Right.
The sparrows and the swallow here is a symbol of the worthlessness of the people of God. Of those sinners, they're absolutely worthless. But I'm glad when God saved us, He made a place that the worthless could come and worship.
Amen.
The worthless could come and worship. Psalm 41:17 said, when the poor and the needy, isn't that us? When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, the Lord will hear them. And the God of Israel will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the villages, of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry lands springs of water. Oh, God said when they're letting poor, needy, helpless sinners, said when they call to me, I'll hear them and I'll give them springs of water in the desert and pools to drink from in the wilderness. Hallelujah to God. Ever occur to you that God cares for the poor and the needy? Now, I'm not just talking about the monetarily poor, poor in spirit, but also He does care for those that are monetarily poor also. For the Bible said the poor people heard Him gladly. Now I'm so glad of that, thank God. God saved me, I was worthless, brother. I wasn't worth taking out and shooting. I was not worth the powder and the lead to blow me into the devil's boogeyman house. Wasn't the sorrier critter ever lived than me, and I'm just being honest with you. Sorrier than dirt.
Amen, preacher.
Lower than scum.
Yes.
I was worthless.
Amen.
There was no beauty in me that God would desire to love me. All that was there was sin.
Amen.
And unrighteousness. But oh, thank God. Now he's living in this dry and a thirsty land.
Yep.
But thank God on that Sunday morning when he passed
yep.
by, he yep. dug a pool yep. for me to drink from and gave me rivers,
yep.
rock-sand rivers, praise God, of living water.
Amen.
I found
Amen.
A spring to drink from
Amen.
And a well to draw from. But thank God that spring and that well has turned into rivers through the Holy Ghost that God's given us. There's rivers of water in our soul today through the Holy Ghost that lives there. Why don't you get your drink this morning? Amen.
Amen.
We're not even worthy to bow down and drink from His water, from His pool. But God in love and mercy said, you're my child now. Drink your fill. That's what Eliezer done to all them camels.
Yeah.
He just rode the rock back and them girls drawed water and them old camels just drank all they wanted. The people drank all they wanted. Sometimes I wonder if them camels is not a type of a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
They were the first to drink before the people.
Amen.
Hey, mate! Old camel. You know why I let them drink first? They could hold a lot.
Hey.
It was like a sponge. They'd been on a long journey.
Hey.
Now I'm telling you, me and you and I, when God saved us, have been on a long journey
hey.
Through the wilderness of sin.
Amen.
But oh, thank God. Look out, flowers. Here I come across the communion table.
Amen.
Praise God in the wilderness of sin. We wandered lost and undone. But God found us on that glorious day. And now we're drinking from living water. Living water. Amen. Like that woman he met at the well. He said, if you had asked, if you know who it was you were talking to, if you had asked, he said, I'd have give you rivers. I'd have give you living water. And if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Thank God, I'm telling you, I'm well satisfied in Him today. And when I come to the house of God, I'm going to come stirred. I'm going to come satisfied. I'm ready to meet God. Amen. In worship, spirit, and truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, I was like clay this morning. Lord, help us. So the worthless. come to worship. And I want to say the restless can find rest. He said the swallow a nest for herself. What are they doing in little nests? What do you do when you get to your house? What's them little swallows doing in their nest? They're resting. Do you remember when you were lost? If you just look back and remember, you have to admit you were restless. You had no direction in life. I can remember as a young man, I couldn't sit still. I just had to be. Sometimes I'm still about half that way, but not here lately. I like that green chair. But I'm gonna tell you, I couldn't rest. There was no rest in my soul, and there was no rest in my body. I've watched our grandkids. And they'll come to our house, and I'm telling the truth. I lie not. I've seen them come to our house. They'll come in that back kitchen door. They'll walk in the house, walk through the kitchen, walk into the dining room, through the foyer in the front room, through Miss Hall's study in there, through the little foyer there where the half bath sat, around through the living room, back out the kitchen, and out the garage door and raise the garage and go back outside. 2 minutes later, here where they're coming in, back through the back door, back across the kitchen floor, around this way. You know what? They're restless. Then this time they might go upstairs and throw a checker up against the wall, and then they'll come back down. They're restless. That's exactly the way a sinner was, restless. Your soul was restless. You may not realize it, but your soul was looking for a place of rest. Amen. And there was no rest till Christ passed by. Thank God. And now we can come to the house of God. And those of us that were restless has found a resting place. Oh, Lord Jesus. We sang that song, "My soul has found a resting place." Woo! Not in device or creed. Thank be unto God. I'm glad today I can say that I'm rested in the everlasting arms of Jesus. I found the nest. I want you to get a hold of this. They come stirred. They come satisfied. Amen. Now, get a hold of this. He said, Isaiah 57:15. He said, Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and a holy spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. There he is in a high and lofty place. And guess who's with him? You and I.
Amen.
High and lofty. That's talking about a very holy place.
Amen.
A place where only the highest esteemed will go. And that's you and I that have been saved by grace.
Amen.
And it's a place of old divine rest. Won't it be a wonderful day? Now listen, won't it be a wonderful day? I know some of you come to church, but and I love you. And I talked about, and I started to sing, talk about how we come on Wednesday nights dragging, but I thought, no, I ain't gonna say that. Because some of you work hard all week. Some of you have to run to get here on Wednesday nights. You come and we're not quite what we ought to be on Wednesday nights. You know why? You're tired. Your flesh and your body is tired. And it's hard to overcome when you're completely worn out. I've been there and done that and got several t-shirts.
Amen.
Tired and worn out. That old flesh has just about had it.
Amen.
And one of these days, though, we're going to a place,
yes, sir,
where our flesh will never grow old and never grow tired.
Amen.
And we'll rest in a high and a lofty place with our God.
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be for you and I. The restless can find a place of rest. Amen. Now, then I want to say this. And then there's hope for the helpless. Listen to what it says, and I'm closing here in just a second, if the Lord will let me. said, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God."
Amen.
Now there's two altars, and I'll just mention them, and I want to say a few things. There's two altars. There's an altar of brass at the tabernacle, which was an altar of sacrifice, and it speaks of humiliation and suffering. There's also an altar of gold that offers incense, the golden altar of incense, that speaks of exaltation and His glory. Now here's a question I want to ask you. It said that she may lay her young. Where? Come here, Joe Bob. Come here to Grandpa a minute. Come here, Trevor. I want you to do me a favor. You just do what the preacher says, okay? Come on. Want you just to... The Lord said, "I've found a place in the house of God. And it's got altars."
Amen.
And there's some helpless folks that are lost and without God and with no hope. But thank God she said, "I can lay them. I can lay my babies on the altar of God." Hallelujah. "I've found an altar in the house of God that I can lay them on and give them to God." And I'll guarantee you, if you give your babies to God, God will take care of them. He took care of Samuel, and He'll take care of yours if you lay them on the altar for God and quit playing church and fooling around and get busy about seeing your family saved by the grace of God. They're going to hell, I'm telling you, and they're growing up in a generation that's dragging them down the wrong way, and you better get a hold of that.
Amen.
Guy in a generation that's dragging them in the wrong direction.
Amen.
Buddy, you better get them up there while they're young and quit playing games.
Amen.
Now I want to say this. And this ain't what led me to preach this. It's just where I was at in the book of Psalms. But Miss Hall's been writing this lady. She's a good lady, I believe. Miss Hall's been telling me about her. I won't mention her name. But she's from another place. And here's what she believes. She's one of them people that believes you can don't believe in organized church. That you can just have church in your house and everything will be all right. Well, I don't know who the deacons are there, and I don't know who the pastor is there. I don't know where the tithe goes to. And I don't know where the altars are. And I don't know if it's a house of God or not.
Amen.
She don't go to church. That's church in the house. And that's good enough. Well, I could tell by looking at her, in all due respect, she wasn't dressed like somebody that was one some of God's youngins. So apparently she wasn't getting too much from house training.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God in our dispensation has ordained a house, and we call it the church. Now, I know this building is not the church, but it's the house of God. And God has designated it where you can come into it and rest.
Amen.
And where you can lay your children on the altars of God.
Amen.
Lay them on there. Amen. Lay them on the altar of judgment. Lay them on the altar of glory. Amen. Lay them on that. Lay them on that altar of gold and glory to glorify God in their life. Somebody say amen right there. Thank you, Trevor. Can you get up, buddy? I appreciate that. Said she's found some altars, even nine altars. And so the beauty of it is, and I believe David wrote the psalm, he said, "My God and my King." He doubles there. There's precious thoughts in that double saying, "My God and my King." What a heart. And a man after God's own heart. And he knew what it was to assemble. When Absalom drove David from Jerusalem, David wept and wept. And his heart was broken because he had to leave the place of worship.
Amen.
Was driven from it.
Amen.
Even told some of those that went with him, he said, "At Shimei, I started throwing rocks," and God said, "Leave him alone. Then maybe God will show mercy on me and take me back to the house of God again." He missed the house of God. He missed not being there. I wonder about us today. Do we come to the house of God with the right spirit? With a longing in our heart? With joy in our soul? Joy in our heart, a longing in our soul? Do we come with real peace in our hearts? And everything's settled? We've done all God wants us to do. We've laid our kids on the altar. Made everything right with God. There's nothing between us and our Lord. Nothing between our brethren. If there is something between somebody today, get it right.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to drag it out in front of everybody. Get it right. If there's something between you and God, get it right. You don't have to tell nobody what it is or what it was. Get on the altar and get it right, whatever it might be. Tell God about it. Let's stand together.